Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, welcome to our playoff edition. Super wild card round just ended. Headed into the divisional round here with Jacob here. Lots to talk about. A good week for Sports Injury Central. A lot of good things to talk about here. And a good weekend in that relatively few injuries. But welcome everyone to the show. And we'll chat about some fun things. I think Jacobs has some questions for me and otherwise. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, fun times. It just seems so abrupt. We got 30 injuries, 30 teams of injuries to track, and then all of a sudden there's just eight left. It's tough to get to the micro level in each thing.
I think the NFL either stumbled onto or engineered an interesting situation. Christmas Day used to be NBA. And this year, it became NFL with the holiday on Monday. Martin Luther King Day used to be NBA. And the NFL put two games. One was Monday night to begin with. And then the Buffalo game got shifted with weather. Two games on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. So the NFL has taken away Christmas and now MLK from NBA. And that might be a recurring thing. I don't think it was that bad to have two games Saturday, two Sunday, and two Monday. And MLK Day is always about this time period. So maybe that's the new tradition. Three doubleheaders for Super Wildcard Weekend. I kind of like the balance. What about you?
Yeah, it's funny with the – you hate to get in what-ifs, but if the Dolphins win Week 18, then that whole Buffalo situation doesn't happen because Buffalo doesn't host the game. So I think the NFL didn't mind
that. I would argue it wasn't Week 18. Situation. I would argue it wasn't Week 18. It was the game against Tennessee that they were by a couple touchdowns and lost. I would argue that was the week that cost them the home field and ever. Because if they beat Buffalo Week 18, sure, they host, but they host Buffalo again. Right. That's hard to win back-to-back. Look, it wasn't back-to-back, but ask the Cleveland Browns in Houston. They played in Week 16 in Houston, went back in the wild card, and got hammered. So it's NFL's tough. NFL is tough. As I always say, from my time in the league, Jacob, teams would look very hard when they scout the other team at the last week and the last 4 weeks. At the time, it was easy, right? It was a 16-week season, so into quarters. And the goal would be internally for an NFL team, win all your games at home and split on the road. That would end you up at 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, 12-4. Pretty good.
Right.
Of course, the goal is to win every game, but that's the bottom barrier. Split on the road, win at home, and to go 3-1 every 4 weeks, right? Every 4 weeks, every quartile of the season. And I guess I say this because if you – one of our by health sick picks was Tampa plus 3. But if you took the last 4 weeks of the season and looked at Tampa and looked at the Eagles, instead of the Eagles that went to the Super Bowl and started 10-1 before going 1-6, well, the six meaning this last night's game as well. If you took the 0-4 and the basically 4-0, took the last 4 weeks of the season, would have had a different outlook. But by injuries and so forth, Tampa was the right choice. And so we got that one. The easy one was what Miami and their linebackers missing in the cold. And the Rams kept it close to cover. and Houston. Yeah, Houston against Cleveland. And thankfully, we stayed away from Dallas. They were slightly the healthier side. That was quite the deal. All right, let's get into it a little bit here.
Yeah, I got notes for the division round matchups, but I want to start with some head coach vacancies. I know it's a little forward looking, yes, but there's a ton of.
You guys laughed at me. I was joking around. I said, you know, when we were talking about Dallas and Green Bay, I said, you know, the parlay I want is, and I know it didn't exist and you couldn't do it, was parlay Moneyline Green Bay plus 300 to Bill Belichick, the Cowboys head coach, at probably plus 2,000, right? I mean, that'd be quite a nice little parlay. I don't think it was offered like that, and you can't parlay like that, but those are clearly two linked events, right? And look, McCarthy, maybe he keeps his job. Does anyone believe he keeps his job?
The players do. They're throwing their weight behind him a little bit. You see little leaks coming out in the media that he's still popular in the locker room. So I don't know. Maybe it's a last-ditch effort.
Well, I would argue this. Have you ever heard of a draft not going well for a team right after the draft?
Especially not a Jerry Jones draft.
Have you ever heard of a surgery not being successful right after it happens? Have you ever heard of a trainer, athletic trainer, or workout person who doesn't say, my client is the hardest worker or the quickest healer? It's kind of like it's the right thing to do to show support for your coach. Yeah. And if you're going to be negative, you're not trying to kick dirt on the guy's grave.
Yeah.
So if you don't have anything nice to say about McCarthy, I think all those people stay quiet. And he does, and it's not that he's not liked. I mean, you know, Jerry's not the most patient guy in the world. I was just joking when they were getting killed late in the first half. I said, and they panned to Jerry Jones. I guess, I don't know if it's funny or not. It's like Jerry Jones trying to figure out how he can get Bill Belichick to coach the second half of this game. Got a lot of play, but we'll see what happens. Look, I think the interesting one is Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Too. What happens?
He's got to be on the hot seat.
I'm not sure. Yeah, not sure. There's a lot of merry-go-round going on right now. Bill Belichick interviewed for the Falcons,
yeah,
and that was released during the game, right? Yesterday. Harbaugh interviewed with the Chargers yesterday, apparently Monday.
I think that's the only interview he's done. I think that it's leaking out that there's mutual interest, and that's the only interview he's done. So be an interesting fit.
I would love to see Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. All right. So look, the Chargers have a good team, I think. They've got the players. I don't think Belichick's going there, but the last three head coaches they've had no head coaching experience. So I do think that they're going to look at someone with head coaching experience. I think they want Harbaugh if Harbaugh wants them. And if not, I don't know that it's Dan Quinn. Is it too wild to say Pete Carroll?
I don't know.
I mean, Pete Carroll still wants to coach. He's got a great track record in the NFL. He loves L.A. L.A. loves him. And, you know, in a competitive sports market like L.A. with all the different teams and movie stars, who doesn't want Snoop Dogg on the sidelines? Pete Carroll. But I don't know. I think they want Harbaugh most. Full disclosure, I know Jim pretty well. And I like Jim. And I will say it right now. Sorry, Jim. I was wrong. When he was with the Chargers and otherwise, you know what he wanted to be when he, quote, grew up after football? I don't know if people know this.
No.
He actively said in the locker room, in the training room, that when he was done with football, he wanted to be a head referee.
Wow.
Player to be a referee. That's what he wanted to do. Now, I don't know how long lasting it was. And obviously, he's gone on to some great success. He's, you know, the quarterback room at Raiders, then head coach at USD, University of San Diego, then Stanford, then 49ers, then Michigan. So he's been a very successful head coach and never been a coordinator.
Right.
Which is interesting. But I have to say, I was wrong. Having known Jimmy, I wasn't sure that he'd be cut out to be a head coach. Dead wrong. He's been successful. And I think the difference is, as a head coach, you're more CEO than vice president of manufacturing or vice president of sales, you know, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I'm just saying, he makes a great leader and a CEO. And look at Michigan, right? Yeah, he's been very successful. So I was wrong. When he was playing, and not to denigrate Jim, I think he's great, very competitive. If you want to hear those stories, we'll talk about him. But I just missed it, right? Obviously, I would not be a good team owner. I would have missed hiring Jim Harbaugh. He's been very successful. Now I'm all in. I think Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers makes a lot of sense for Jim, makes a lot of sense for the Chargers. You know, keep Kellen Moore on the offensive side there for Justin Herbert makes a lot of sense, et cetera.
Yeah, you could argue that's the vacancy with the best quarterback available. I mean, he did a lot more with a lot less in San Francisco, so it'd be interesting to see if he could step in and get Herbert out the right.
Yeah, so I've known Jim for a while. I'll admit I haven't talked to Jim recently, except maybe at Super Bowls running by Radio Row, et cetera. But so I don't have any insight if he's coming or not, but I think it's a good fit. But Jim's very competitive. I first met Jim when I was an underling resident physician in Chicago, and he was a young quarterback in Chicago with the Bears and Northwestern, where I went, took care of the Bears and participated on some stuff with Jim. And then Jim ends up with the San Diego Chargers, right? You remember that. And I still remember, I think it was like, I'm dating myself here. I think it was like 1999. You can Wikipedia look it up. When I started as a head team physician for the Chargers, I was the youngest. I don't know if they even keep stats for this, but the youngest head team physician ever. I'm quite sure I was tagged as the interim, right? And then, all right, you did okay. Maybe we'll give you a year, right? I mean, that walked into the role. I was, I don't know, Antonio Pierce is trying to be, right? The interim in getting the job or something. And there was always one player on the team older than me. Well, that player left. And I was like, okay, my streak is done. No big deal. And then we got Jim Harbaugh. And I still remember it was the UCSD training camp. We're in the UCSD locker room and training facility where training camp was when I saw Jim again for the first time. Had a conversation and he remembered Chicago days and we chatted. And then I said, wait, I came to, and then we talked about, you know, where I came from a little bit and the Chicago days. And all of a sudden we got into a discussion about, wait, how old are you? Right. And I said to him, and he says, how old are you? That's 35. And Jim Harbaugh said, I said, Jim, how old are you? He goes, 35. And then Jim says, when were you born? And I said, March 64. And he didn't say anything. And I said, what about you, Jim? He goes, December 63. And I'm like, oh, I got you then. And he goes, not by much. I mean, I guess a player doesn't want to be older than the team dog,
yeah.
I guess. But it was funny. And then we joked about how we both agreed that if we were born on the same day, we'd be asking each other what time, you know. But I did run into Jim, pseudo run into Jim, one time between Chicago and him being with the Chargers. It was in San Diego. He was quarterback with the Colts, and it was the weekend. I get a phone call from our head athletic trainer for the Chargers. Hey, the other team needs an X-ray. I'm like, okay, for what? I mean, what happened? You know, something happened at walkthrough practice. You know, the visiting team, the visiting Colts. Yeah, and it turns out it was Jim Harbaugh. It was the famous. Jim's talked about this, so this is not HIPAA or whatever, and it's been out there. It was on Dan Patrick, not long, but so. Apparently, the story goes that Jim Kelly called Jim Harbaugh soft for his injuries. And Jim is like not having it. And Jim Kelly was part of the broadcast team where they come and interview the teams and whatever. So Jim Harbaugh apparently seeks out Jim Kelly wanting an apology, or why are you calling me soft? My kids read this, and this is not the case. And as it turns out, Jim Kelly didn't apologize. Jim Harbaugh took a swing at him, right? I mean, and apparently he broke his hand and he didn't play that Sunday and he missed some time. So that was the interim Jim Harbaugh. Competitive again. You got called soft and he was going to man-to-man with him and the whole deal. And I think that's the kind of I don't think people see – everyone sees the fieriness of Dan Campbell, right? I think this is the side of Jim Harbaugh that people don't realize. He's just as fiery. He, you know, he has this who's got it better than us? Nobody. Almost the feel-good type stuff. But he's that competitive and that fiery, and I think his team sees it. He wasn't going to let Jim Kelly say something about him. And my only question, I wish I would ask Jim this question, and I haven't asked him this question, but he broke his left hand. I find that very interesting. Is it because he's really that good both hands, or are you saying, look, I'm not throwing a punch with the right hand moneymaker side. I'm going to do it with the left. And it still was enough to knock him out a little bit of time, but he broke his left hand, and that's been publicized too, so no secrets. I find that very interesting. That might be a beast nominee, not only for confronting a guy, but having the wherewithal to throw a haymaker with the left hand, the off hand, right? What else can I say about Jimmy? I actually have some other really good stories about Jimmy, and love him, but I might need HIPAA clearance to tell some of them. So I'll stay quiet, you know, even though in theory, believe it or not, statute of limitations on HIPAA, in theory, I don't think they ever expire. And it's not a bad story. It's a good story. It's a interesting story, but I'll have to save that for another time because of HIPAA. But I will tell you that I did see Jim on more than one occasion quietly get into it with his offensive lineman. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, come on, let's go. Like, like one time, I think it was a play. I won't name the players. It's just all the team shenanigans, but it shows.
Yeah.
I think a side of Jim Harbaugh, his fieriness. He's Dan Campbell-esque in terms of how fiery he is. I think he got sacked and one of the offensive linemen's walking off the field and he's looking up at the Jumbotron. And you know how you talk to the TV sometimes under your breath, and he's like, come on, Jim, get rid of the ball, you know, like, you know, and he got sacked. And I think Harbaugh heard it and it was like, what did you just say? if memory serves me correctly, we didn't do so well that year. That might have been the 1999 1-15 year or something. I don't know for sure. I'd have to look it up. But Jim didn't back down to his offensive lineman at all. He's as fiery as they come. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what makes him a great head coach. He's authentic. This is who he is, you know. And Jim will do it his way now. I mean, and I respect him for that. So I hope Jimmy gets the job. I'd love to see it for the Chargers.
Yeah, that'd be great. The one thing that sticks out from his time in the Niners is his handshakes, because he's got the pinky going the wrong way from getting caught in a face mask. I'm sure a million quarterbacks, especially older quarterbacks, have those, but always struck me about his
handshakes. You know, Jim Harbaugh, right? You know, the Jim Schwartz slap on the back. I mean, I think people have seen the fieriness a little bit, but I got to give Jim credit for this. He does things his way. I mean, and if he believes in something, he's all in, he's going to do it. And I remember hearing a story about Jim from a good source that when he was at Stanford, look, I think it's a good source. I'm not trying to break news, but I'll tell the story like I heard it, right? And I'll leave the names of the people out just because why go there? Well, Jim was at Stanford. He wanted a bathroom in his coach's office, his head coach's office, instead of going down the hallway. And the way I heard the story is he asked for one, and who knows, administration, the AD, I don't know who said no. And Jimmy went out and got one of the donors that he was friendly with to come in and put one in, and he just did it. Didn't cost school any money. And but that's kind of Jimmy's style, which I think players appreciate. Like, this is how he wants to see it done, you know, and he's authentic. But yes, he got his bathroom at Stanford, and someone could fact check me on that and what have you. But that's the story that I've heard from behind the scenes at Stanford when he was the head coach.
Yeah, it was always fun to see him and Pete Carroll go at it. So hopefully we're not losing Pollyanna Pete from the coaching tree in the NFL. It's always fun to have him out there competing.
Yeah, but Pete's been, I got to respect Pete. He's been very honest. He said, this wasn't my choice. And, you know, if, how ironic would this be if Jim doesn't take the Charger job? Does it perhaps go to Pete?
Right.
That would be interesting turn of events.
Yeah, getting into...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Some of the division matchups will go through the schedule. Texans Ravens is the first game. Mark Andrews returned to practice during the bye week. They opened his 21-day practice window. Does that leave an outside chance at division round?
Look, it's good to keep hope alive, but we said when it happened that we thought it was a season, and maybe if they got to the Super Bowl, there could be a chance, right? And initially, John Harbaugh was optimistic, and then he revised that. It's like, yeah, he's out. I wouldn't get too excited about Mark Andrews yet. Look, a partial Mark Andrews is still pretty good, but let's not get too excited about the practice window opening up. At this point, it's a why not decision. Per the timing of the practice window, you have to designate him to return in order to open up his 3-week practice window to allow him to be on the practice field with the team to see how he is. Otherwise, you have to work separate from the team off to the side, just with the athletic trainers. And the timing of it is such as the Ravens don't need to make a decision to activate him or lose him for the season till after the AFC championship games. So it's a no-lose situation to just designate him to return, see what he can do on the field, get some ramp-up time and see how he's doing. You don't have to make a decision to put him down or to activate him for good until after the AFC Championship game. When you've now made the Super Bowl is when you need to decide whether to activate him or put him down for the year. So the timing of this doesn't necessarily mean he's ready to go this coming week. The timing of this is, why not? We got nothing to lose. So hopefully it happens for Mark Andrews. And hopefully we find a way to adjudicate and get rid of the hip drop tackle just because of injuries is all.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely has been turned into a favorite target from Lamar. So if they get there, it would be.
Yeah, but imagine having both of them, right?
That'd be frightening for a lot of teams.
That'd be pretty. Yeah, but Houston is, you know, their D-line got a lot healthier. Their D-line sacked Flacco 4 times. And we talked about from week 16 when Texans lost, there was no C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins with the calf. Nico Collins played well. C.J. Stroud came back to play well. Week 16 was concussion. Nico Collins played well. The D-line healthier. Houston's on the up here. And we'll see if they can give the Ravens a game.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil playing well through that groin and knee too. He had the little knee scare on the field goal, but
yes,
came back and looked like clean pocket all day for him against Browns. Next game, Saturday night, Packers against the Niners. Packers, one of the healthiest teams, pulling off that upset over the Cowboys. Christian Watson did play, but wasn't involved really. Jaden Reed didn't really do much, even though he led the team in receiving. But they, I would assume,
yeah, they're Green Bay.
A couple, look, week better
Christian,
off.
Christian McCaffrey full practice today.
Toe/chest for Jaden Reed.
A couple of defensive issues still for your 49ers. Green Bay's the healthier side. Now, is it the rest that will help the 49ers, or will the rust help the Packers? That remains to be seen. But,
right. Rest versus rust. That's good.
I mean, there's ways to knock rust off in practice. He probably has done that. By injuries, it's a little bit Green Bay, but, you know, 10 points. I don't know that we have it Green Bay winning, but can they cover the 10 is the question.
Right, the two huge spreads on Saturdays. I think it's 9.5 for the Ravens and 10/9.5 at some books for the Niners. Buccaneers took care of the Eagles. Eagles were on the downward slope health-wise. Buccaneers are the healthiest remaining team to get a matchup against the Lions. Sam LaPorta played kind of a surprise for us with the LCL sprain. What did you see out of him in the wild card round?
I'll give Sam LaPorta a mention or nod for Beast of the Week to come back from that hyperextension LCL posterolateral cord injury and bone bruise and play. The good news is the brace works effectively, which is good, but he still hobbled around. He did a great job. I mean, what I described Sam LaPorta this week was another tight end in a big game, C.J. Uzama in the Super Bowl for the Bengals 2 years ago. Remember lobbying to play, made it back to play, 2 catches, 10 yards. LaPorta did a little better than that, 3 catches, 14 yards, and that one-yard touchdown pass. You know, he surprised me. He did well, and he'll be a week better, but he's still going to have that big old brace on. I don't expect him to be 100%. No Khalif Raymond. We believe he's got a PCL. Jameson Williams wasn't 100% coming off his high ankle. Amon-Ra St. Brown, special guy, right? So we'll see what happens. So Tampa is the healthier side. Detroit's got a lot of mojo and momentum. After all these years of not having a home playoff game, not winning, and now you get 2 in a row? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know they got their sights set high, but feels good to get that one under the belt, yeah. I'm sure, for them. That was a tight game.
I say this jokingly, let's get Detroit to the Super Bowl and the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, and you'll have Taylor Swift on one side and Eminem on the other. maybe they can be the halftime show. And you know.
Yeah, they'll jump on with Usher. That'll be great. Got a second healthiest team, the Chiefs, against the least healthy team remaining, the Bills, on the Sunday night. Bills had another defensive injury, a couple of them, Christian Benford filling in the slot corner, and then Terrell Bernard, who's been huge in the absence of Matt Milano. So be nice for them to get one of those two back, but don't know if that's possible.
The good news on Bernard is
a little bit short week.
The good news is, carted off in air cast, but no fracture, just a right ankle sprain. So does it give him a chance? Maybe, but you know, a linebacker needing to go sideline to sideline, it doesn't bode well. We'll see what happens here. And that would hurt them. As you said, he's been good for them, and they're still missing Tre'Davious White, obviously, and Matt Milano, and Rasul Douglas is still iffy.
Yeah.
So 2 corners. And the Chiefs are the healthier side. Look, Rashee Rice has got to dodge a bone bruise. I'm assuming he will on that left knee. But otherwise, it's just Brian Cook, the free safety for the Chiefs. Everyone else in the Chiefs is relatively healthy. Heck, they got a healthy Kadarius Toney sitting on the bench inactive.
Yeah. Yeah, they dodged a bullet with the Dolphins linebackers being out, pass rushers. So wasn't a big problem for Mahomes. Probably similar thing for the Bills with no know, Matt Milano, Von Miller still getting back to 100% from his ACL. So we'll see if the Bills can bring the pressure on the Chiefs.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if the Chiefs can get after him early, I think where the Chiefs really get trouble with their tackles is when there's a chase.
Yeah.
You know, when the DNs can, edge rushers can pin their ears back, right? When they're still run past threat, I think it's better for the Chiefs. So we'll see what happens. But Chiefs definitely are among the healthier, and the Bills are banged up defensively. And also Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis still probably on the iffy side for the game.
Yeah, you can head to Sick Insights for all the updates throughout the week. We'll be on there. Practice reports, all the way down to depth cornerback. It's that time of year, so key to track everything.
Yeah, life is easier for the guys at Sports Injury Central, right? It's down to four games. How easy is that? You can get them up early as opposed to 16.
Yeah, drinking from the fire hose early on in the season, but nice that we get to the micro level at this point.
So let me ask you this question. Better celebration, terrible towels or the snowballs in Buffalo?
I like the snowball. I got to give a shout out to the fans for even wanting to show up. I thought it was great that there's no assigned seats. Just shovel one out and it's yours.
Oh, is that what it was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they said no assigned seats for the game. Clearly not a sellout in those conditions, but shovel one out and it's all yours.
Do they have shovels there?
I think they brought their own. I don't know if you can get there without bringing a shovel anyways.
I'm curious, but I missed that part. I mean, look, here in San Diego, Padre games, I mean, you're not allowed to bring an umbrella, right? Because it's a weapon and it gets in the way. But you can bring a shovel in Buffalo. That's pretty cool. So you shovel your seat and you can sit there. So you can have a 50-yard line seat.
Yeah. Yeah. First come, first serve. Old school.
The craziest video from the weekend, besides Patrick Mahomes' shattered helmet, right?
Yeah.
The craziest video is the concession stands where the refrigerators were actually warmers.
And so, yeah.
like literally, okay, we talked about the Gatorade and the water on the sidelines being frozen for the players, right? We talked about that and how they drink chicken broth. But I'm sure everyone's seen this video now. They pull a water out of the refrigerated case, and instantaneously you would see it just freeze up, you know?
Yeah.
And I showed it to my son, you know, Davis, he's 11, and he had an interesting comment. He goes, "Wow, that's crazy," right? I'm like, "Yeah, that's crazy." And you know what he said? "You can't even drink that water." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "You don't even have a chance to open it up and quickly drink it because it froze from the top down." I was like, "All right, you're right, but if you put
he wants his money back,
froze from the bottom up, you drink it, your whole throat might be frozen. I don't know, right?"
Yeah.
I mean, but he was like fascinated by it, but he came to the conclusion that, like, do you get your money back? What happened? You can't even drink that water because it froze from the top down. You don't even have a chance to drink any of it. But the other thing is, I'm amazed at the beer, all the pictures of the beer freezing.
Yeah.
In the cold, because you know there's such thing as a boiling point elevation and freezing point depression, like the extent of my cooking. If the water is boiling over the top on the pasta, if you put a little salt in it, it tends to boil less, right? Because it's boiling point elevation, so it's greater than the boiling point then. And freezing point depression, salt water freezes more, less at lower temperatures than regular water, right? Freezing point depression. But the beer still froze. It wasn't water.
Yeah, that's fun. From Monday night, I thought it was interesting that Eli concurred with your Jalen Hurts opinion that it wasn't a huge factor for his grip and throwing. But Eli had to get up and tape the fingers to confirm that theory.
Yeah, I stumbled into that. I was, you know, trying to figure out the streaming and, you know, stuff since we weren't in the war room, and stumbled into Eli, you know, at tape as well. You know, I didn't know what the effect of the middle finger would be. I got to go try this out. So I taped up my finger and I tried to hold it off the ball, and I went in the backyard and threw some, and he goes, it's not that bad. I think I can do it. I was like, thank you, Eli. You're proving our point. But you had to do it. But I guess fair for him, like he's never had that before. So he didn't know. So he had to go try it. But they do, you know, obviously he's a football player. I'm not. He does it from the old school. Let me go try it. Whereas I'm going from a medical perspective. This is what it is. And you know, it's actually, we actually had a first this weekend. And the first was not Eli Manning, this quarterback, corroborating our finger stuff, right? I mean, that happened once before. Who was it?
I think it was a couple years back.
Again, he looked it up.
Yeah, I think it was a couple years back. Joe Burrow dislocated a pinky, but was able to play through. I think it was Tim Hasselbeck, who I think has been on the pod before.
I think it was Matt commented Hasselbeck.
On it on Twitter.
I remember because we follow on Twitter. I like Matt. He does a great job. And I remember seeing his tweet saying, I wasn't so sure what the effect would be. And I went out in the backyard at halftime and threw the ball without my pinky, and it's no problem. Yeah. So that's not the first time a top quarterback has vouched for our grip things. But what I think was the first is our tweet and stuff got used on TMZ this weekend.
Yeah, that is an interesting topic in general, is that Kirby Joseph, the Lions safety, is the one that caused TJ Hawkinson's ACL tear, as well as Tyler Higbee with a similar type hit, going for the knee with it planted on a catch. So they grabbed our video from Tyler Higbee, and a lot of people talk about whether it can't go high anymore, so you got to go low, I guess.
Yeah, I know players say, I'd rather have you go high than go low at my knees, but I don't know. I mean, look, it's unfortunate. He caught him at the wrong moment. His foot was planted. I find it interesting. There's no discussion about, I didn't hear any discussion about, what if it was grass? Would his foot slipped out? But since it was turf, right, he tore up his knee. I didn't hear any discussion about that. Hawkinson was on turf too, right? And Tyler Higbee on turf. But what do you want the smaller DBs to do? They got a big tight end running at them. You can't hit them high. You try and get them, hit them around the waist to grab them. They're going to run through your tackle. You don't want to hip drop tackle them. So you bullet low. I find it interesting that their defense was don't throw the ball there, you know, kind of thing. The whole what Tom Brady was saying. I think it's unfortunate. I don't know what rule change you make, you know, and I can't be sure grass would have made a difference. I mean, in terms of his cleats sticking and then causing all that force on his knee. But it's certainly not an illegal play currently, but something for the league to look at. It's just a shame because it's going to affect him for the start of next season. It's a big deal injury for Tyler Higbee and TJ Hawkinson. So, but yeah, you guys showed me the TMZ stuff. I was like, what? TMZ? We didn't, what do we do to get on TMZ? Anyways.
Usually something bad, so I'm glad it's something good.
If you go back and look at the film from Patriots days, ACL, MCL for Gronk the same way, going low. Mm-hmm. In that case, they were coming more at him. But what are you going to do? Gronk's going to run you over, you know. So you go low, and unfortunately that happens. Look, there was almost a play that Patrick Mahomes got hurt when he got hit low in the knee in his front leg. But his foot, thankfully, was off the ground. So, and I guess also technically it was on grass, but in any case, walked away with nothing. If his foot were firmly planted, I'm sure that would be a significant knee injury, which is why quarterbacks in the pocket are protected, right? But I don't know how you can protect the guy running out on the field like that. It's difficult, certainly unfortunate.
Yeah, there's another one in the Lions-Rams game. I want to dive into it with you because you have some insight to the protocol and how guys get cleared. Matthew Stafford, a lot of people saw the replay that he got slammed to the ground, the eyes went up, he kind of looked like he had the classic fencing response, and then came to and ran over the sideline, clearly not concerned about his head, but his ribs more, went in the blue tent and got cleared and came back to the game. People are on Twitter mostly wondering how that happened, if they had that replay as well.
Well, all I can say is this. I mean, it was in Detroit. It wasn't exactly a Rams fan trying to put him back in the game. The Independent Neuro is not affiliated with either team, but they're from the Detroit area. I would imagine, if anything, they're swept up in the Detroit. And no, I'm not suggesting any doctor would be partisan anyways, one way or the other. But by rule, they're supposed to look at the video. My assumption is that the eye in the sky buzzed down. They looked at the video, they examined him, and they cleared him to return. And if that didn't happen, it should have, right? And so I'm not trying to sit here and second guess off the video, but that's why I always say maybe a doctor should talk to a pool reporter. They can say, was Matthew Stafford checked for a concussion? Did you guys see the video? And they can say, yeah, we saw the video. We didn't see it as eyes rolling head. We saw it as this, that, the other, and we examined him and he was fine, right? As opposed to leaving it in air. The other more interesting one too was clearly
what? I was just saying, clearly he wasn't affected in the game. He came back and he was sharp and hitting all his throws. Didn't look sluggish or lingering symptoms. So I think they did the right thing, clear him, come back in. It's just the video is shocking for people. How do you get knocked out and not suffer concussion?
Well, if he was knocked out, obviously he should have been removed from the game. Like, I don't know that I saw enough of the video, the eyes rolled back in the head or whatever people are saying. So it's hard for me to say. However, I also think there's some questions about, look, I've never seen a helmet shatter like that.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, never seen it. I have seen, and Jim Trotter posted it, Fred McCrary, our fullback, used to have these big collisions with Junior Seau in training camp. And after practice one day, Fred had his helmet that had a little crack right up here. I mean, it was about this long, but clearly cracked.
Yeah.
It didn't shatter like this. This obviously had something to do with the weather and the brittleness of the helmet. But still, the helmet shatters, and everyone was so caught up in the wow. I thought it was interesting that there was no timeout. He was given a free timeout for the equipment change. And there was no head check, at least not visibly right there then, right? Just observations, I guess. But I guess, you know, everyone's human. You never encountered that situation before. It would safe to say you can't let them play with that cracked helmet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. Motorcycle helmets, after a collision, and, you know, obviously you hit the ground or you're in an accident, you're supposed to throw them away. They're single use in terms of collision. But helmets will get used again and again. But motorcycle helmets are, it says right on there, they're single use. If you get hit, they don't certify the safety anymore, and you're supposed to get a different one.
Yeah, does a player use the same helmet all season? Are there ones that are superstitious about using the same equipment?
Some players are. And, you know, you got equipment guys. You can get it refurbished and checked and this, that, the other. But some don't care. As long as it's the same model, they're good, right? Some people like are fine wearing new pairs of cleats every game as long as it's the same kind. Some like, oh no, I broke these in,
right?
You know, and I want to keep that. You know, so it depends on the individual player. I remember back in the day because of the charity stuff that I did, I'm asking LT because LaDainian Tomlinson had a unique face mask and the dark shield and unique helmet. I remember asking LT, you know, we were honoring him. I said, for charity for kids that we do free surgeries and stuff. And I said, well, we're going to auction off your helmet. I said, I think it'll be worth more money if it were game used. Do you like, is this your helmet for the season and you want to wear the same one because it's broken in or whatever, or do you care? As long as it's the same model, you don't care if it's brand new, it's the same everything. And he said he didn't care. And so he's a guy who didn't care. And so we got game used LT helmets, like with a little chip, a little this, you know, almost better, right? Raise more money for charity that way. So he didn't care. But the interesting thing about Patrick Mahomes also, in terms of backup helmet, besides it being cold and he said it didn't fit, but Remember, it's got to have audio in it too.
Yeah.
Right? The two-way, because the quarterback helmet's different.
A beast of the week. Right. I had a...
Anything else we got here?
I think that was it. Just basketball coverage continuing. We're dipping more into that as football winds down. We have a little bit of extra time. So head on over to our NBA page and you can get all the latest on returns of Ben Simmons, Chris Paul, etc.
Perfect. And as football season winds down, that NBA stuff is actually in some ways more actionable, right? Because one starter out is, you know, like 4.5 starters on an NFL team. There's your cluster, right? Power forwards out, there's your cluster, you know, just like we say multiple offensive linemen, or Miami, multiple linebackers out, et cetera. Beast of the week. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, Sam Laporta for coming back. I mean,
Bills fans braving it out.
Maybe
Chiefs fans. I don't know.
What's that? Bills fans braving the cold. Yeah. Bills. Let me tell you, Bills. Look, I like Buffalo and Bills fans. Green Bay gets all the street cred. Oh, the stadium's in a neighborhood and you're parking in people's front lawns and this, that, the other. Buffalo and Bills Mafia, the only difference is there actually is a parking lot. But Bills Mafia, Orchard Park, it's houses right across the street. Lambeau Field doesn't even have a parking lot. Bills Mafia at least has a parking lot, right? But it's literally in a neighborhood with houses. And I always called Buffalo sort of a poor man's Green Bay. A lot of character, great fans, the whole deal. A poor man's Green Bay. So, yeah, we can give it to Buffalo. We can give it to Sam Laporta. lots of chatter. I found that Jay Gruden, RG3.
Oh, man.
Twitter feud interesting.
That was fun. Love that RG3 doesn't pull any punches. He's a great character in the media now that he doesn't let any comment slide on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of sides to that story all the way. I think you should put them on First Take and let them debate it out. Or better,
I like it.
Pat McAfee, put them both on at the same time. Let them have a discussion. I think that would be great.
That'd be must-watch TV. Great, absolutely,
it's great TV. Let them discuss it out. All right, guys. Thanks for watching and listening. Pro Football Doc, Sports Injury Central podcast. Divisional round coming up. Gosh, it's starting to get separation anxiety. Only 4 games this weekend. What are we going to do? And then the next weekend, only 2.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, separation anxiety here.
Used to Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
Now it's just
all
2
that,
days.
All that other stuff there. All right, thanks for watching and listening. Give us a 5-star review, please, at YouTube or your podcast place. Appreciate you. Go to sicscore.com for the developing news. Thanks for watching.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.